I brought my own PowerPoint this evening, and I'm going to put it there. I have been blessed throughout the years, and rather following in the footsteps of my great uncle J.E. Adamson, Uncle Jack, my mother's uncle, and my mother's younger brother, Norman McLeod. I admired them greatly, and they were our pastors when I was growing up in Pomona, California. I sometimes, when I tell people where I've lived, they think I've been in the military. I was born in California, went to school at Oregon, married in Oregon, moved to Minnesota, Nebraska, Indiana, Tennessee, Ohio, California, Minnesota, South Carolina, Illinois, South Carolina. I finally found home, and so this is it, and I'm not going anyplace else. I'm going to push up daisies here, whenever it is God's will that I quit my ministry. I'd like to read a portion of the Exodus, the third chapter, as an introduction to my message this evening. It talks about the call of Moses. And the third chapter of Exodus, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So this is what got Moses' attention. Anyway, God announced to Moses that he was calling him to deliver his people out of Egypt. And he talked about him. God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so he is announcing who he is. So first Moses said, well, who am I? I'm just one. What can I do? So get somebody else. And then finally he said, when I come to the people and tell them that the God of their fathers has sent me, what is your name? And so this, God said, I am that I am. And thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This is a very important portion of God's word, and God dealing with one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. All over the world, every day, this statement is made billions of times. You think I'm exaggerating, but there are at least 1 billion Muslims in the world, and they're all saying there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Allah happens to be just a generic Arabian word for God, but Muslims interpret it as meaning the only God. Now, I am here to campaign for Yahweh, the one true and living God. And this is my message. There is no God but Yahweh, and Jesus is his son, prophet, priest, and king. You may someday see that on a billboard on 85, because I'm thinking of along that line. But anyway, this is the message that I want to bring tonight, that there is no God but Yahweh, and Jesus is his son, prophet, priest, and king. I know this will not make me popular with the Jews, and it won't make me popular with the Muslims, and it wouldn't make me popular with most of the world's churches, because it goes against the Trinity and tells us the fact that Jesus is not God, but that he is the Son of God, and it goes against the Muslim religion. I say, so be it. This is probably a little small for you to see, but I think you can kind of get an outline of it. This up here is God's name in Hebrew. And the Jews in the Hebrew language, they read from right to left. We read from left to right. So it is just four letters. YHWH. And this has been called the tetragrammaton. That's a big word. But all it means is a word of four letters. And so if you ever read about the tetragrammaton, that's what it's talking about, a word of four letters. And that's all there is in God's name. There were just four letters, all consonants and no vowels. But the little dots down below the letters indicate what the vowels should be. It's interesting to me that the first letter here is Yod. That's the word Y, the letter Y. And when Jesus said, not one Yod or one tittle shall pass away, he was talking about the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and he's talking about these little tittles that are put on the letters to indicate the pronunciation of the words. So there is meaning to it. One of the things that amazed me when I was studying for this message was the fact that Yahweh occurs 6,957 times in the Hebrew Scriptures, which we call the Old Testament. And that includes 134 times that the scribes changed Yahweh to Adonai, which is just a common generic word for Lord. And it occurs in every Old Testament book but Esther, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Even though Yahweh has been spelled and pronounced different through the ages, it has been given a form by a Hebrew scholar, Jesenius, who lived 1786 to 1842. So you will find when you read and study about this that Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, is the accepted pronunciation and spelling of God's name. The King James Version, I want to remind you about this, that the King James translators rendered Yahweh, Jehovah, in four places. But this is not a good word. It's a hybrid word that is formed from the consonants of Yahweh with the vowels of Adonai. So it's really, really not a genuine word. It's an invented word. But it was first used in 1518, and there's no support for Jehovah anywhere in ancient times. In fact, there is no J in Hebrew or Greek. So that why call him Jehovah when his name is Yahweh? And so as a result, this is what we're going with the Hebrew. It's interesting to us that in reading about this, that God's name Yahweh was found on the Moabite stone. I've always loved archaeology, and back when I started at the Bible Training School in 1940, the Middle East was really the archaeologist's heaven, because everything was in the dust and in the sands. But anyway, the Moabite stone was discovered, and it was done about 900 years before Christ, and it was found in the 1800s, and the Arabs who found it realized that it was valuable, so they heated it and poured cold water on it and broke it all to pieces so that they could sell more pieces. Well, the only thing that was good about it is that somebody had done a rubbing of the Moabite stone before they broke it to pieces. So they went around and bought up all the pieces and put it back together as well as they could. So what it said here, that Misha, the king of Moab, paraded the vessels of Yahweh before his god Chemosh. Now, this is an absolute quote from the Moabite stone, that they paraded the vessels of Yahweh, this spelling, before their god Chemosh, and triumph over Yahweh, they thought. So the driver in his book on Genesis, and I had this book a good many years and never cracked it, but anyway, he had a wonderful study on Yahweh, and this was his final word: Yahweh is the personal name of the God of Israel. And so we like to use that word. We want to try to help you to learn to know it, and so that you will use it also whenever you see it. I'm going to remind you that the translators translated God's personal name, Lord, throughout the Old Testament. And to me, that's too bad, because it's like saying Mister. It's impersonal. I know none of us here would like it if all people ever said was call us Mister or Mrs. or Miss and never used our names. And so it is that we don't want God to be an impersonal God. We want Him to be real and personal to us, so that we can have a living relationship with Him. So whenever you see the word Lord or God in all capital letters in the Old Testament, that is always Yahweh. I am teaching myself, I'm practicing myself, that whenever I see that word Lord all caps or God all caps, I automatically read Yahweh. And it's very interesting, because when you get into the Psalms, for instance, Psalms that we're very familiar with, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you go on through all these other familiar Psalms and all, and you see Yahweh all over there. And so it really opens up scriptures and makes them beautiful and plain. I want to go back to Exodus 3 and talk about God's name and what He said to Moses. Here you have, you say, what is His name? And it's interesting that in reading the Jewish commentaries, they say, well, what is His name? What is His fame? What is His mighty power? In other words, name just did not mean a name that was given to Him, but rather a name that He earned for Himself by what He did. And this is actually expressed in Nehemiah 9:10, where He said that He had made a name for Himself. So, but when Moses first said, well, what is His name? Then he said, I am that I am. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I guess that what it says, Ayah, Asher, Ayah. I will be what I will be. In other words, it's not just I am. I will be what I will be. And it seems to be expressing the word eternal. In fact, many Bible translators have attempted to translate it, but I remember Moffat very well, and he translated Yahweh the eternal every time it occurs. If you're going to translate it, that's probably a good translation. But I still would rather go with the word Yahweh. It reminds me, too, of Revelation 1:8 and 4:8, when He said, I am the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This carries the thought of eternity, too, because He was, is, and is to come. There was a time when He was not. Never will be a time when He will not be. So He is Yahweh, the Eternal. In fact, in Genesis 21:33, it says, Yahweh, the Everlasting God. So this is probably a scriptural definition of it. Verse 15 in Exodus 3 says, God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So this is God's name. And as I said, we, even though we go back and sometimes interested in names, all of our names mean something, but even though we go back and find out what they mean, we still want to use God's name because this is His name. And so as a result, to me, it, one of the saddest things is that the Jews, who are God's people from way back, will not use Yahweh. You will not find a Jew that will use Yahweh. And what it is, it's a fear of blasphemy. Over there in the book of Leviticus, it actually uses this thought of blasphemy. There at Leviticus, the 24th chapter and the 16th verse. And this is what frightens people. 24:16. He that blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, shall be put to death. So here you see a warning about blaspheming the name of Yahweh. In fact, we also know that in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, thy God, in vain. But the way I see both of these texts, the one in Leviticus and the one in Exodus, is you shall not misuse the name of Yahweh, your God. One translation, I couldn't find it when I was trying to get ready for this evening, says you shall not call upon the name of Yahweh to evil intent. In other words, it's not talking about cussing and swearing, it's about calling upon His name to evil intent. In fact, I really think that taking the name of God in vain has to do with the way we live. If we say we are God's people and we don't live right, I think we're taking His name in vain. And this is very dangerous. On August the 8th, in year 2008, the Catholic Bishop, Sarah Telly, of New Jersey, announced a Vatican directive. Quote, specifically, the word Yahweh may no longer be used or pronounced in songs and prayers during liturgical celebrations. In other words, they are being ordered by the Vatican not to use the word Yahweh, God's name Yahweh, in their services. This I got out of Wikipedia. And if you ever want to read a real good article on Yahweh, Wikipedia, it goes on and on. Perhaps more than you ever wanted to know about Yahweh. But it is wonderful. So, what I'm saying is the Jews won't use it because they're afraid. The Catholics ordered not to use it. So it comes down to us. What do we say about us? I say, use it. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't abide by the Vatican warning. We need to use God's name. Because there is no God but Yahweh. And some of the strongest texts, I'm just going to give you a few of them, and these are from the book of Isaiah. And these are so strong, beginning there at the 44th chapter of Isaiah and the 6th verse. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. 45th chapter, and there at the 5th verse, I am Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And the 18th verse, for thus saith Yahweh that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain or a waste. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. 21st verse, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I Yahweh? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. And then in the 46th chapter and the 9th verse, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. These are just a few of the texts of the 7,000 times that Yahweh occurs, that he is saying that there is no God but Yahweh. What I am saying here, there is no God but Yahweh. He said, I know not any. I am from the beginning. I am the creator. I know everything. There is no God beside me. There is no God but Yahweh. One of the most wonderful texts in regard to God is Deuteronomy 6:4. This is called the Shema. The Jews are good to use the first word in any particular statement and name the whole thing after that. So Shema means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But what, when you go into this, into the Hebrew, it's saying, hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. And this is, he goes on and says, you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when Yahweh thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. It goes on and talks about the things, the blessings that they will receive. But look how important this is, that he would say, order them to teach this and command their children to write it even on their doorposts of their houses and talk about it when they lie down, when they rise up, when they walk by the way. There is no more important verse in the Bible than this. And this was amened by Jesus when he was asked in Mark 12:28-32, Master, which is the greatest command of it all? He said, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh your God, Yahweh is one. And he said, you shall love the Lord, Yahweh your God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the scribe said, you have answered well, there is one God. There is none other but he. This, everywhere you read, you're going to find the same thing, that he is the only God. And he is asking us. In fact, I believe that when we know him, as we can know him through the scriptures, that we will love him and we will teach about him. We will pass on this truth to our children and to those who will come under our teaching, because it is so important. There's no greater truth in all the world than that Yahweh is God and there is none else. In fact, in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians 8:6, he said, there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, and we by him. You see that there is one God, but there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. I don't mind calling Jesus Lord. I would rather not call Yahweh, Lord. But Jesus, the word Lord in this instance probably means master. In fact, a lot of people always talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. I've had many people give me this greeting. Yeshua being Jesus, HaMashiach being Messiah or Christ. But in other words, to me, there is no God but Yahweh is pointing us to the fact that Jesus is his son and he's prophet, priest, and king. He's not just another prophet in a line of prophets that ends with Muhammad. He is the prophet of God for all time. Prophet in the past, priest in the present, and a king in the future. These are Jesus' future is to be the king of all the earth. I have a friend in Edgefield named Freddie Neal, and she attended a mayor's breakfast in Augusta where there was a Muslim cleric who, knowing that she was trained for the ministry, said, "We worship the same God, but we don't. We do not worship the same God. I tell people, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them." There are a lot of things you can learn just by examining fruits. He did, asked us, told us not to judge, but he told us to be fruit inspectors. I don't have to know one single thing about Islam because I see the fruits bombing and killing the innocent with the guilty. Yahweh doesn't do this. In fact, when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham was told that God was going to destroy the cities of the plain, Abraham started bargaining with God and said, "If you find 50 righteous, will you destroy it?" "Nope." "45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, all the way down to 5. And God said, "I will not destroy these cities for 5 righteous." So God doesn't destroy the righteous with the wicked, but Allah does. And to me, our God, even though during the great periods of theocracy when he was ordering his armies to fight and the things that they did, there was still mercy and there was warning. There was possibility of escape for those who were righteous, just like the lady in Jericho when the walls fell down. She was delivered because she was righteous. She was not destroyed with the rest. And this is God, this is Yahweh God's way of working. And so we can know him in this way. There are, I am not going to take time to talk about tonight, but I'll mention them to you and you can look them up yourself. There are 8 Yahweh titles in the Old Testament in which Yahweh is coupled with different words. In fact, Yahweh is my shepherd is one of them. And so there are different ones. Just like Abraham, when Isaac was spared and the ram was caught in the thicket, the Yahweh will provide. You find all these, and all of them talk about what Yahweh is. Each one of these titles explains more and more about him so that as we examine them and see the way he works and the things he has done, through the years, we learn to love him. We can know him. And we can be a part of his plan. There is no God but Yahweh. And Jesus is his son, prophet, priest, and king. I believe we should use his name. We should glorify his holy name. In fact, I never will forget Brother Jim McLean, who had been in the ministry nearly as many years as I, said, "I really feel like we don't really glorify God's name like we should." And so I am saying to you this evening, I want you to practice with me using the name Yahweh and proclaiming it wherever we go. We thank you for your time. May Yahweh be praised.